From our studio in our office at the corner of 8th and Walton, Bentonville, Arkansas, welcome to Saturday Morning Meeting, brought to you in part by Dun & Bradstreet Credibility Corp, the leading provider of credit and credibility solutions for businesses. Saturday Morning Meeting covers Walmart, Sam's Club, and the consumer product companies that are represented on the racks and shelves throughout the country and around the world. Our focus is on the insights, trends, and best practices to help you as a supplier grow your business with the world's largest retailer. I'm Andy Shook, and thanks for joining us. A little retail math could help your business. Dave Cooper of Transactional Insights provides an equation for success. And then it's time for Six Ideas in 6 Minutes, featuring Jeff Anderman of Turning Point Capital. Ready to take your business to the next step, but you don't have the funds? Jeff gives you some options. Later, we meet Chuck Hyde and Brian Baldwin, board members of the Amplify Effect, a unique program for suppliers to get involved. But first, the headlines. This Thursday's earnings call had some good news for the Walmart community. According to the New York Times, this was the first time in 2 years that Walmart was able to report a quarterly sales upturn. Comparable sales rose by 0.5%, and total revenue for the quarter grew by 2.9% over the previous year. Global online sales rose by 21%. Still, there are challenges ahead. Grocery and video game sales remain flat, and Walmart U.S. CEO Greg Foran noted that this holiday season would be highly competitive. Organic produce can cost as much as 25% more than conventionally grown fruits and vegetables. With numbers like that, you'd think that organic would have no place in Walmart's everyday low-price business model. But according to a recent article in Business Week, Walmart wants to make sure that everyone can afford organics. The recent partnership between Wild Oats and Walmart may prove to be a major industry disruptor. Right now, organics are expensive and can sometimes be hard to source, but because of Walmart's purchasing capacity and market reach, Wild Oats hopes to reduce costs and increase availability. The article also states that Walmart's research shows that 91% of its customers would consider organics if they were affordable. We'll keep you posted on this exciting development. It looks like Walmart is turning Black Friday into Black 5 Days. Instead of kicking off on the day after Thanksgiving, Walmart will start offering huge deals on Thanksgiving Day via Walmart.com. Online shoppers can take advantage of in-store discounts as well as free shipping. Later that night, Walmart stores open and will offer special deals along with one-hour guarantee items. Over the next 4 days, Walmart plans to offer both online and offline discounts, including 30% off selected store categories. Sounds like this will be a great time for holiday shoppers to save big. Walmart has publicly stated its support for improving standards for factory workers over the last year. CEO Doug McMillon recently announced that Walmart will provide $10 million in grants for the Women in Factories program. A Walmart press release explains that this program helps women factory workers in developing countries build life and work skills that they can use to benefit themselves, their families, and their communities. The program is also developing a curriculum that helps women have a better understanding of health and wellness, leadership skills, and financial planning. College alumni will have their pick of logo merchandise this holiday season. Forbes.com reports that Walmart struck a deal with Collegiate Licensing Company to stock 2,700 Walmart stores with logo merchandise representing 270 schools. Customers can expect to find the gear at their local Walmart starting November 17th. Go team! And here's an update from our Heart of Business in Northwest Arkansas feature. A few weeks ago, Jody Dilday of the Single Parent Scholarship Fund told us about their November 1st event, Golftoberfest. Well, it was a huge success. Nearly $20,000 was raised through the support of 54 companies, 250 participants, and 68 volunteers. We're always happy to promote such a wonderful cause. Too busy to wade through all your data? David Cooper shows you a shortcut with some simple math.
Today I'm here with David Cooper, owner of Transactional Insights. Dave, you've had a long history in consumer research and in research in general as it relates to consumer packaged goods and retail. Can you give us a little bit of your history just for context?
Sure, Jeff, and thanks for having me, by the way.
Thanks for coming. You bet.
I have my research background is really a consumer insights specialist. I've done that for the first half of my career. And I did that up until about 12 years ago. I did product and concept testing and other sorts of things.
Some work with big companies, right?
With big companies. I worked with General Mills and with Heinz Pet and several others. I ended up taking a job with the company I was working for at the time in Bentonville because it was a sales analyst position. Now, you don't normally leave a consumer insights position in a corporate, but I really wanted to work with sales data and retail link data in particular. And so I jumped at that, and I've been wrestling with sales data ever since.
Got it. And given that vast experience you've had, what do you see as the current shortcomings in the way data analytics is being done within the retail and consumer packaged goods marketplace?
You know, I don't think it's a problem with analytics per se. I really believe that the problem lies at the interface between the interface between the salesperson and the buyer. And the problem there is that's not as insightful as it could be. And there's a good reason for that. These are two of the most time-starved people, you know, in Bentonville. And so they just don't have time to work their way through dashboards and scorecards and so forth and be insightful at anything less than a very aggregated level of product and geography. Sure. And that's really the problem. We don't have a language for business insight, and that's what I hope to bring to the community.
Well, tell us a little bit more about that. So given those shortcomings, you know, what would you suggest that we do differently?
Sure. You know, what we can do differently really is we can supply the analysts on both sides of the fence, so either the retailer and for the vendor. We can supply with them with the kinds of experience that they really need by way of being insightful. By applying business math a little bit differently. That's what we do at Transactional Insights.
So can you give us some specific examples of how some of the insights you're talking about and the business math you alluded to, how that would actually be applied in a different way?
Well, we teach the sales analyst a different way of applying the sales math. So in other words, or the retail math, in order to understand the sales transaction differently. So there are drivers of sales, and that's mathematically can be parsed out as very simple. It's almost arithmetic. Mm-hmm. It's not very difficult. We do it basically, if you want to call it software, that's fine, but it's really a smart spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. And we teach this methodology over a couple of days. Mm-hmm. But we teach analysts how to look at each transaction in terms of its drivers. And when we do that, in effect, what we're able to do is define insight mathematically, and we're able to help them deliver insights on a much smaller level of aggregation. Mm-hmm. To the buyer and to the salesman.
What are some specific drivers that would be, as you look at this sort of formulaic approach, what are the drivers?
Sure. Basically, we break it down into three things: velocity, price, and distribution. Okay. Velocity being a sales rate, units per store, mm-hmm. or per week, that sort of thing. When you multiply all those three things together, you get revenue. And if you can quantify each and every one of those things, you begin to understand how that kind of as a whole becomes insightful in a business sense. We're talking about business insight here. Right. As it turns out, you can also use the same methodology really to gain sales insight. So if you don't have shopper insight, mm-hmm. But you have retail link data, you really do have as much shopper insight as you can handle.
So there's more power there than what your assertion would be. There's more power there than what people have been able to mine.
There's a great deal of power, and it all boils down to just looking at that retail math a little differently.
And as I understand it, part of what you're also saying is to push that down to the point where it can be most actionable.
Right.
What are the implications of doing that?
Well, the implications of doing that, there's a lot of insight really available to us at lesser levels, and we just simply miss that. Right. And the implications really are that we can produce insight all day long, mm-hmm. and that has implications for the retailer. It has implications for the vendor too, in terms of their culture and that sort of thing. For instance, for Walmart, it'd be very simple. For them, they really are all about empowering the frontline people. Within the vendor community, various different cultures out there, but we can disburden. The positive is that we can disburden the sales person by removing that burden of insight from them.
I got it. And so we've just got a little bit of time left. Open up your crystal ball, your long-range forecast. You've been doing this for quite some time. What's the next 5 years look like? What do you see coming down the pike as it relates to the futures?
That's a great question as well. I really believe that, you know, we're talking about social media and big data and so forth. I think sales data, we're going to rediscover that as the insightful, the bounty of insight that we can get. Again, business insight and shopper insight is available to us if we just look at it differently. And I think those techniques will really become part of everyday life.
Dave, thanks so much for coming in today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be coming right back with the remainder of Saturday Morning Meeting.
I walk in every day and I just take a deep breath and I'm like, I can't believe where it's gone, where it's come to. Blood, sweat, and tears, and then some, everything to build the company where it's at. I'm Billy Westbrook, and ScrubBlade is a idea I had. I wondered, why don't wiper blades scrub your windshield? If they're going back and forth, why don't they scrub the windshield while they're doing it? You know, I was making barely any money to survive. I was living on an air mattress at a friend's house, completely stripped down to nothing. It's just me. I was like, I'm going to give this 100% and see what happens with it. And that was in 2006. It's 2014 now, and I've never stopped. In the journey of ScrubBlade, we had a huge opportunity to do a big test with Walmart. And if I would have worked all those 8 years and neglected my business credit, I wouldn't have had the biggest opportunity of our journey. Dun & Bradstreet Credibility is a huge partnership for ScrubBlade. They share the knowledge really well, go through your credit rating with you and explain what this means and what that means. We're starting a big test with AutoZone, and I mean, they're the largest automotive retailer in the world. It's gonna take our company to the next level and beyond. What drives me, what keeps me going, is my family. Yeah. My job is to take care of my family, and it gives me a lot of pride to know that I can do that. And at the same instance, Dun & Bradstreet Credibility is taking care of me, or my entity, ScrubBlade. I mean, it's still a small company, but big in my eyes. We wanna have fun with it. We wanna bring people in along for the journey. You know, life's a journey. Get a clearer view. That's what ScrubBlade's tagline is, and it means everything.
Retail Solutions is the market leader helping advance reporting and analytics with Walmart suppliers around the globe. We manage the data for you, automate data integration, attribution, and reports, and then help you focus on activities that will drive the most value. To do this, RSI works with you to perform a business value assessment to identify the largest value opportunities in your business. If improving results in sales through better insights and execution and efficiencies are important to you, contact RSI today.
Get your notebooks out. Jeff Anderman of Turning Point Capital gives us 6 CPG financing options in 6 minutes. 6 ideas in 6 minutes. This week, it's on financing options for CPG companies. I'm here with Jeff Anderman of Turning Point Capital. Welcome, Jeff.
Great to be here. Thanks.
So how did you get here?
Sure. In addition to Turning Point Capital, I'm a partner in a business called Infinity Product Group, which is a wholesaler and distributor to a number of mass retailers.
Okay.
Over the past 4 years, we've grown our business by about 400%. And so I've developed a lot of expertise around how to grow and finance the growth of CPG companies.
Now that's Infinity, but then you also have Turning Point Capital.
That's correct.
Okay.
And Turning Point Capital is a consulting business that's focused on helping small and emerging CPG companies finance their business.
Great. Well, let's get started. You've got six ideas for us. The first one is the typical approach, and that is ask friends and family.
That's right. So when you're starting a new business, it's very common for folks to think about, hey, should I approach my friends? Should I approach my family members? Should I approach the wealthy person down the street and ask them for some money to get started?
Well, they know you. They kind of know your track record, what you have been doing in the past. You probably had a different job, and now you've started your own company. So there's a little bit of trust there, and,
exactly.
and people know you,
yeah.
which is a little harder to get at a bank, isn't it?
That's correct. I mean, usually that's the friendliest money. It's got the least strings attached often. But at the same time, you're often giving up a portion of the ownership of the company, which means you're going to be sharing your profits with them over time.
So explain more about that.
Yeah. So, a typical equity investment that comes from a friend and or family member or perhaps an angel investor is usually, I'm going to give you some money in exchange for a percentage of your business.
Wow. So after you sell the company or as your profits are coming in, you're having to share more of those.
That's correct.
Okay. So the second one is a little less known. It's a non-traditional form, and it's called purchase order financing. Can you explain that?
Yes, yes. So in purchase order financing, the purchase order finance company will advance money against a purchase order that you receive from a retailer to help you pay for the goods that you need to produce for that order.
Because you usually don't get loans to do that.
Correct.
From the place that's actually manufacturing the goods.
That's
they
right.
want their money.
They want their money. They usually want to get paid up front, maybe a portion of it, and then get paid when they're ready to ship the goods to
okay.
you.
Okay. So that's one. So the third one is similar, but a little bit different, but it's called factoring or accounts receivable financing.
That's correct. So when you have an invoice, once you've shipped goods to your retail customer, a factoring company or an accounts receivable financing company will advance you money against that receivable. So that you don't have to wait 30 or 60 or 90 days to get paid by your customer. You can get that money now. You can turn around and invest in more inventory to support new orders. You can pay your payroll. You can invest in marketing and things like that.
And there are companies out here that specialize just in these things?
That's correct. Yes. Yes. There's a number of companies that focus on specifically these lending products. Some are more reputable than others, but
okay.
there are some that do a great job at it.
Good. So how does this help the new CPG company when they're able to get that money, that influx of money?
Yes. So that company can use that, like I said, to invest in new inventory for their next round of orders from whatever retail customer
okay.
they have. They can use it to help promote their products in their retail customer stores. They can use it just to pay the people on their payroll to make sure that they can come in and support the business.
Sure. And what kind of terms are usually in that kind of a negotiation?
In terms of how much the lending company typically charges
yeah,
you for the money?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so a typical factoring arrangement, what they are going to do is they're going to say, we'll give you 90% of the invoice for Walmart today.
Okay.
And then when Walmart turns around and pays you in 30 or 60 or 90 days, we'll collect the full amount of that invoice. We'll send the remaining 10% to you, typically less a percentage that they keep for themselves for financing that invoice.
Got it. So fourth is term loans and working capital loans.
Yes. So there's a number of new lenders that have emerged over the past, call it 5 years, that are very sort of tech savvy. They're online lenders
okay.
who can do term loans, working capital type loans for small to medium-sized businesses. Typically, these were provided often by banks or SBA guaranteed banks in the past, but the banks have gotten away from that business over the years, and these technology-enabled lenders have come in to fill the gap.
Great. And fifth, we've got asset-based lending?
Yes. So asset-based lending is sort of a combination of factoring and inventory financing. And so an asset-based lender will typically say, I'm willing to lend you money based on a formula. And that formula is going to look at what's your outstanding accounts receivable, what's your on-hand inventory, and we're willing to
okay.
take those two together and advance you a certain amount to
so
finance your
business. Now you're getting into more of the last one, which is the sixth one, and that is bank financing.
Yes.
So now we're kind of getting into the more typical way in which people
right,
go about it
right.
after they've had an established business.
Exactly. So they have a more established business. That's when a traditional bank is most likely to lend to you, is when you've gotten to be more mature, you have a strong balance sheet, you have
yeah.
a track record of profits, and they're typically willing to work with you you on a loan that is generally going to be, you know, a lot more flexible than some of the other things that we don't
do. So how do you figure into this?
Sure. So my company, Turning Point Capital, is a consultancy business that focuses on helping small and emerging consumer product companies access these types of financing options.
So they could just get online and try to find a purchaser or financing company?
Yep, they could, absolutely.
Okay. But
they really won't know who they're dealing with.
Right.
So what we do is we have a network of folks that we have worked with over the course of time who have been vetted by us, who have the ability to do these kind of deals and do them in a, you know, sort of responsible way.
Wow, that's great. So, you know, thanks so much, Tay, for coming in, Jeff, and sharing your knowledge about CPG and finance. This was great.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was great.
We'll be right back.
CaseStack, the leader in collaborative retail consolidation programs. We offer the supply chain expertise needed to navigate the challenges of selling products with the world's largest retailers. And we provide customers with a customizable, scalable, environmentally sustainable supply chain with the same advanced technology typically used by larger rivals. By leveling the playing field, CaseStack lowers distribution costs and increases overall margins. CaseStack, retail logistics is what we do.
Bad OSA accounts for $3 billion in unclaimed sales each year. Equip yourself to tackle one of the toughest issues in retail, on-shelf availability. Take the 8th and Walton class on OSA and score big. Bentonville Plaza, across the street from the Walmart home office, the best office location offers proximity and services like no other business complex in the area. Call 479-659-1260 today.
Up next, Chuck Hyde and Brian Baldwin discuss a rewarding way for suppliers to help local nonprofits.
I'm here today with the Amplify Effect board members, Chuck Hyde from the Soderquist Center and Brian Baldwin from Acosta Sales and Marketing. We're going to discuss a unique way that suppliers can get involved in the local community. This is a neat segment because it's a little bit different from some of the other nonprofit organizations when they come in and talk with supplier teams about a specific event or their organization and how and why they've engaged. And so I think, Chuck, if you wouldn't mind taking a minute just to talk about what it is that makes Amplify different from specifically investing in one nonprofit organization here.
Sure. So 3 years ago, we found a way to create a reserve fund to really help not-for-profits afford capacity building types of programming that we do. And we work with not-for-profits, we work with Walmart, we work with Walmart suppliers and a host of industries. But in the not-for-profit world, most can't afford the kinds of things we offer. But they need capacity building program, they need leadership, they need team development, just like, you know, all the other organizations need it. And so this is really became a way for us to give back into that space in terms of what we're good at, mm-hmm. into helping make them more effective mm-hmm. in the missions that they're serving out there in the community.
Terrific. And actually, let's take a second also to talk about a couple of ways that a nonprofit, or any team for that matter, but in this case a nonprofit, would engage with the Soderquist Center. How are some of the ways that you would help an organization?
And so, for example, one of the agencies we helped last year had applied for this scholarship fund, and in their case, they were operating in multiple locations, and the executive director was trying to do everything herself, build a team, build a cohesive unit that not only works well within one location, but across multiple locations. And she talked about, you know, I never really trusted anybody to help make that happen. Mm-hmm. So in their case, it was a lot about understanding themselves, understanding how each other works, the same kinds of dynamics of a team that a supplier team would be faced with.
Right.
They experienced the same thing. It's just a different context. Mm-hmm. And so she had applied for some help for a one-day team program to really help them become more effective in working together, mm-hmm. which then makes them more effective in, again, carrying out that mission.
Right. It's great. And it really helps. The investment is being made at a top level to help these organizations grow, and it can have a long-lasting impact.
And that's where the Amplify Effect came from, is that if we can build into an executive director or build into a team, their effectiveness gets amplified, right? So that's the branding of it all really sure. came from that yeah. to say, let's target some work here, and the ripple effect goes all the way into the people that they're serving mm-hmm. Through the team and the rest. And so that's what we're really trying to do in that way.
That's great. So Brian, could you take a minute and tell us a little bit about Acosta and its relationship with the Soderquist Center, how and why that has developed?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. We developed a relationship with the center a number of years ago when we were looking to develop our team. We leveraged some of the tools that they've got in their toolbox in terms of how to develop or continue to develop a high-performance team, mm-hmm. Leadership development, young leadership training, and we've built, over time, a trust with the center, and I think that's the basis for this conversation is we developed a trust with them. With that trust, we followed what they're doing in the community, and we found the Amplify Effect kind of a fascinating new way to give back to the community. We really enjoy the work that they've done around value-based leadership, mm-hmm. and our company is centered on 7 core values. One of those values is balance. And in our balance value, it talks about giving back to the community, which we are committed to doing. We donate to a number of great charities in this marketplace and around the country with our company. What was interesting about the Amplify Effect was a donation that we could make that touches multiple nonprofit organizations with sure. one check.
Sure.
And what we found with that is when you talk to different nonprofit organizations, some of the things that they find are lacking 2 things. In some cases, they don't have the wherewithal, the financial wherewithal, to invest back in their people and grow their leadership team mm-hmm. because they're driving so many of their funds directly to the services that their organization
needs. The
resources
are going to their mission.
Yeah.
Not to the leadership at the top. That's great. One last quick question, Chuck. If you wouldn't mind, how could a supplier team of small, medium, large, how might they engage with your group?
Well, first of all, I think we already know this is a generous community of giving time and money and things like that into the not-for-profits. And so we'd make the assumption that many are already involved, volunteering, serving on boards. And if they know of an organization, they're involved with an organization that should apply for this, we'd want to continue to grow applications. So that's one big thing. Mm-hmm. But the second thing is, to Brian's point, we know it's also a generous community in terms of giving. Mm-hmm. And so if they wanted to give into this pool and realize that, yes, the operational dollars are necessary, and we don't ever want to cannibalize that right. that giving. But if a dollar into this, you know, makes it turns those dollars into $1.10 or $1.50, $10, right. you know, whatever, amplify the gift because right. they're more effective in carrying out that mission than operationally, then maybe that's makes sense in their corporate giving strategy here locally. Yeah. And so I think that's one thing that people can look at. And the other thing is designated gifts are also possible. So where some organizations are already directly involved in a specific not-for-profit, one that, you know, maybe fits their category, the kind mission. Of business they're in, their mission, they can actually designate gifts mm-hmm. into an existing relationship
scholarship
that organization to get this kind of help.
That's great. Thank you both for your time. This is a really neat program, and I look forward to hearing more about the successes in the future. Saturday morning meeting, we'll be right back.
Every day, shoppers are bombarded with traditional brand messages outside the store in hopes that these marketing dollars will drive in-store sales. Closure Media drives retail sales by connecting brands with 95 million Walmart shoppers per year while they are in the store. Through innovative programs at Walmart's photo and money centers, Closure Media converts Walmart shoppers to purchasers of your brand. With reported redemption rates up to 7 times the national FSI average, Closure Media drives sales. For more info, visit us at closuremedia.com.
Bentonville Commerce, less than 1 mile from the Walmart home office. You'll love the convenience, amenities, and customized options Bentonville Commerce offers. For more information, call 479-659-1260 today.
8th and Walton, the premier destination for Walmart supplier education. When and where you want to learn. Current, accurate, relevant, taught by suppliers, for suppliers. 8th and Walton.
Our thanks to all of today's guests. In the upcoming weeks, we'll speak with DataRank's Matthew Subert and Lauren Hayes about which Thanksgiving items people can't stop talking about. And on November 29th, we bring you our next special. It's on holiday shopper marketing promotions and is presented by an all-star cast within the Walmart community. Now, as always, we appreciate your taking the time to join us. If you have questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. I'm Andy Shook, and from all of us at Saturday Morning Meeting, thanks for watching. Our guests enjoy staying at 21C Museum Hotel and hosting dinners, meetings, and product launches there.